David!
What?
David, bring the car around! Up as close as you can, open up the back doors. I'll leave the engine running.
Hey there, Hooch. Hey, you saw the whole thing, didn't you? Yeah, well, Amy's gone now, so you don't have a lot of options. Okay, you're either gonna work with me, or they're gonna shoot you. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try to make it a little more comfortable. Huh? Oh, don't you just wanna think about it? Huh? Huh? Here. Watch. How do you do this? Let me just make it a little more. There. Nice. Oh, think about it. Maybe we'll get some nice big chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, nice big box of chocolate chip cookies. The soft kind. The kind with 22 chips. A cookie? The kind. Huh? Huh? What do you think about it? Huh? Come on, get in the car!
To the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is David.
This week, we have gotten writer, reporter Crystal Bailey from Gordon and the Whale, as well as her blog, toointerestingfortwitter.blogspot.com. I did that right. It's Blogspot, right?
Yes, Blogspot. Thanks. Okay.
So, how are you doing tonight, Crystal?
I'm good. Yeah. It's raining here in Los Angeles, which is weird. So.
That's true. When I was there, it did not rain.
Really?
Not at all. No. Wow. I mean, 1 week of being in LA made me an expert on LA. So, all right.
That's sweet. Anyways, we usually start out with what we've been watching this week. So, Crystal, what have you been watching this week?
I watched Rango, with the Johnny Depp animated movie. And absolutely loved it. Like, it was so different from all the other children's animated movies. It felt much more like a Johnny Depp movie than it did an animated movie, if that, like, makes sense.
Yeah, I get you. I saw it. I liked that movie a lot.
Yeah? Awesome.
Yeah, no, that was a really cool movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just really unique in the way it told its story, and it was a different take on the Western. I'm not a huge fan of Westerns normally, but I really enjoyed Rango.
How did you enjoy the references in the film?
See, like, that's the thing, because I don't really like Westerns. I don't know all of the references, and, like, get when they're a trip, like, looking back to, like, Clint Eastwood stuff or spaghetti westerns, because I don't really watch those. So just on that level, just without even knowing, like, what it was referencing, I enjoyed it. Kind of the way, like, Quentin Tarantino's movies, you don't have to get all of the references to enjoy it, but if you do, then you enjoy it on this whole different level. So I didn't, like, get the references, but I'm sure if people are big fans of westerns, they, like, saw a whole deeper picture to it.
Well, I mean, I wasn't more or less pointing out the Western references, but there are a lot of references that aren't exactly Western in the film.
Yeah,
like,
there's a really big reference that we actually talked about last week in the first 5 minutes of the movie, that
Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I did like that one, how he kind of makes a cameo in the Fear and Loathing character, Hunter Thompson's cameo in the highway. Yeah, that was cool.
There's even a Star Wars reference in that film.
Really? I don't remember it.
When the bats are flying down, And the first time they fly down into the canyon chasing Rango and all of them running away, there's this moment where the three bats are flying them down and then they crash together in a way. And that's a total reference to A New Hope when they're attacking the Death Star.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. I also really liked the for the bat scene, how they like all came out to the Flight of the Valkyries, you know, which is like a really typical like charging epic music.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that.
I was just thinking of Apocalypse Now when that came up. I love that movie. Anyways, is there anything else you've been watching, Crystal?
I also just watched The Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon.
That's the action movie where Matt Damon trips on himself, right?
Yeah, it's weird because they marketed it and like all the trailers looked like it was this action movie and it was a thriller and it was like they were going to be chased through all these different parts of New York City and the like. But in the end, it's not an action movie. It's like a love story that has a couple action sequences and is like told through an interesting perspective of like, is there fate or do we have free will? And so, yeah, I can understand why a lot of my friends didn't like it, because and a lot of like other like bloggers I don't think really liked it because it was marketed as this huge like thriller action movie when it's far from it.
I actually kind of really like that movie.
Yeah, I liked it, but that's because I think I knew going into it that it wouldn't be action-y. You know, like, it's all about your frame of mind.
Hey, you knew Matt Damon wasn't going to do another Bourne film. You know he's not going to do an action movie like that again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's too old for that shit. Anything else you'd like to mention?
Those were the two like big ones. I watched Last Action Hero.
Oh, again. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's so fun and just awesome. I don't know. So it's on Instant on Netflix. So I just watched that the other day to pass some time.
That's sweet.
Well, let us see. What has Corporate Douglas been watching? No, hey, Corporate Douglas actually got his number of movies watched this week to greater than one. So
Corporate Douglas has gone on a hiatus. Corporate Douglas has gone on a hiatus. Okay.
Exactly. So I watched two movies. One, you know what happened, and we have actually all talked about this movie, and we all know this movie is fantastic. Was Mother, the Korean movie directed by Bong Joon-ho, and I love that film.
Totally watched that the other day.
Yeah.
Watch it on the Blu-ray. It's beautiful.
I remember saying that.
Yep. But revenge, awesome. Well, not quite revenge. Yeah. Detective revenge, whatever. But another movie that I watched, first watch this week, was The Trotsky, starring Jay Baruchel and a bunch of other people that I don't really know. And it was interesting. I kind of liked it, but it's not anything great. It's not, you know, in the positive side of good. It's more on the average side of good. But it's interesting in what they do. So apparently this guy, Jay Baruchel, plays Leon. And for some reason he decided when he was 6 or 9 or some young age that he is the reincarnation of Leon Trotsky. Not Leon, sorry, Leo. So was it Leo Trotsky? And it all goes from there. Essentially, his life mirrors Trotsky's life. And he's inciting riots. He meets an older woman by the name of Alexandra, who hates him at first, but then loves him, which apparently so does Trotsky. And he is constantly in search of of V.I., Lenin. And so he actually goes into phone books looking for Vladimir. No, not Vladimir. Was it Vladimir Ilyich? Is that his name? I can't remember. Anyway, I'm not good with the history. But he actually goes through phone books looking for this man and trying to find this man. And it's kind of ridiculous in a way, and that's what I really like about the movie, that it's a dark comedy, and if it just kind of went through the motions, I wouldn't really like it. But it goes that extra mile to try and be that much more ridiculous. Like that, like you look at this guy and you're like, really? How do you believe this? And then in the end of the movie, you're kind of like, alright, I kind of get it. Maybe it's possible that this is actually happening. And it's okay. I didn't mind it. It was a fun little movie. And really, with that story, essentially, is kind of like a backstory to the real push. The movie really is about him inciting this riot in a high school. And that's really where the excitement comes from. But it's not bad. It's alright. And I feel like I talked about this way too much. So that was my week. That and some TV shows. But nothing new, I don't think.
Okay. Alright. So this week I saw... I rewatched It's Kind of a Funny Story. And I think I like that movie more on the second viewing.
Does the Queen song come out better?
Yeah. I think because now that I expected the song to be in there, it didn't throw me off as much, and it wasn't thematically it wasn't that much different from anything else that happened earlier in the show, because he became this great artist before the Queen song, which I mean was just as ridiculous as that whole Queen sequence. I didn't really appreciate Galifianakis' performance the first time.
Yeah,
but this time, he was really good in
that
movie.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He kept going on about how, you know, anyone can play that distant character.
Yeah, he's really, really good in this. I don't know why I didn't see it the first time, but I'm glad I rewatched it. I didn't plan on doing it, but circumstances awarded me a chance to rewatch it, and it's really good. And anyone who was thinking twice about seeing It's Kind of a Funny Story, you should really give it a chance, especially if you've seen any of the director's previous films, except Sugar. You know
so you're saying if you've seen half else,
right?
Why don't you try that?
I was trying to be nice. No, you like Sugar.
Sugar, but why would you mention Sugar in that?
It brings a smile to my face every time I say bad things about Sugar.
The movie's good.
Yeah, sure. I also finally saw Tangled, which Andrew has been praising to the high heavens. And in true Andrew form, he oversold the movie. Now, if there was a little less singing, I might have been on board. There's a little... I mean, those guys sung literally 50% of the movie, and like walking in grass.
That's
and singing about
awesome.
Walking in grass.
I agree, it's awesome.
What is truly awesome about that movie is Maximus. He's
yes.
the horse. And that is one of the best Disney characters they've come up with in a long time.
And the chameleon was really awesome.
Yeah,
too.
I love the chameleon too.
That horse is awesome.
You know you want that horse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd buy the horse. But it was really good. It wasn't as great as Andrew sold it. It still wouldn't have been
The thing for me was I went into it with mediocre expectations.
Yeah,
I was tempered. I was like,
yeah,
I want it to be good,
but Pixar's name isn't anywhere near here. So.
And then that came at me.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess if you didn't pitch it as the best cartoon of last year, I'd have maybe adjusted my expectations. But it still met most of my expectations. It's not better than The Illusionist or Toy Story or How to Train Your Dragon.
But,
it would have been fourth. But to be fourth last year is a pretty good fourth, because the three movies I have above it are
really good movies.
Really, really good movies. So yeah, Tangled. This week though, most of my time was spent mourning the death of one of our greatest one of the best comedians that I think has. Look, I'm sure Liz Taylor died and people are hurt, but no, I don't care. Greg Giraldo died.
It's not that I don't believe in God. I think there's got to be some sort of God out there. Even if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, you could still see that there's some intelligent design behind it. I mean, scientists have pretty much proven that if there had been a 1 quadrillionth percentage difference in either direction in temperature or velocity, that the universe would have never formed after the Big Bang. It would have collapsed back in on itself or expanded infinitely outwards, which proves beyond a doubt that I once read an article I didn't understand. And
I didn't find out about it until Comedy Central did their special about him. Because I don't follow entertainment news, because I have shit to do in my life. But when I found out, even though, this is what was funny, I watched the Comedy Central special and still didn't believe that he was dead. That is how much in denial.
He died?
Yes, he's dead.
Whoa.
And I was still in denial. I'm like, are you guys, is this like a joke that you guys are doing early? Like an early April Fool's joke, but he's actually no longer with us. And Greg Giraldo is, simply put, one of the best comedians to ever do it.
People always want to compare their dogs to your kid. You don't know what it's like to have a kid because you have a dog. First of all, nobody has a dog because they were too drunk to pull out. All right, that's the first thing.
The reason Comedy Central had him do almost everything on Comedy Central is because there's not that many people who are better than him. He is... like the guy is literally a genius, and for every yin there's a yang. He is that funny because his life was pretty miserable. You didn't see it because that's what good comedians do. They take the pain that they're feeling and convert it into laughter. And I appreciate that more than pretty much anything else that actors do. I mean, transporting me to another world is all well and good, but when I feel bad and there's someone that can make me laugh, that is better than any acting that any other... I mean, comedians play such a vital role in Hollywood in so many instances, and people kind of take them for granted, which is understandable. They make you laugh and you feel better, and then you don't really pay attention to, you know, how it is that they made you laugh or why it is that something is funny. You just appreciate the jokes for jokes, and then you go home or you go back to bed or you go back to your normal life. I listened to an obscene amount of stand-up, and Greg Giraldo had jokes that he was able to tell you jokes about things that you... It's not like he came up with things that were outside of the box and you know, tricked you into like another joke. It was always straightforward jokes, but he presented things in a way that you knew, but you didn't really see how funny it was until he pointed it out.
And the Pope, you know, the last Pope, everybody loved the last Pope, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, now the new Pope, nobody gives a shit. Pope What's-His-Face, nobody really cares about the Nazi Pope, the new Nazi Pope, nobody's interested in him. The last Pope, everybody said, was a saint now. They want to make him a saint. They want to make him a saint. They say they have evidence that he performed miracles. Miracles. Now, you know what? I don't mean to sound sacrilegious, but miracles? You think the Pope performed miracles? He died of a urinary tract infection. He had less magic powers than cranberry juice. Somehow I'm supposed to believe he's got quite a bag of tricks up his sleeve. I mean,
there are so many jokes. Hopefully Andrew will find some clips and insert it into this. But I watched his two stand-up specials, Good Day to Cross a River, which is tremendous. The title of that alone is probably one of the best jokes in his entire set. And, I mean, it's so good. And he also had his most recent one was Mild Vices, which was also, I mean, just ridiculous. I mean, for you to stand up for an hour and tell jokes and not have one joke miss is really impressive. I also watched two roasts that he was in, the roast of David Hasselhoff, which, if you haven't seen that, you really should.
I have to be honest, I don't watch your roasts at all.
You really
like
should.
Sometimes someone will link me to like a clip of them doing one little bit in the roast, and I'll chuckle at that. But honestly, I never feel a need to watch roasts.
You should. I mean, when you see these, you'll understand. First of all, the people who are being roasted are taking it in stride, and you'll be in tears, because if someone said some of the stuff that they said to you, you'd break down like a little girl and cry.
Probably.
These people aren't nice people at all. And the Flavor Flav roast, which is the greatest one of all time, as that man is a walking, I mean, he's a walking punchline. He wears a giant clock and a helmet. So it's, I mean, and to see how they found ways, especially Geraldo, how he found ways to laugh at him without pointing to what was obviously funny about him is just—it's unbelievable. And I'd like to, you know, anyone who gets a chance, find some of his stand-up and listen to it. I'm pretty sure everyone will like him. It's kind of sad that he's gone, and I hope more people get a chance to listen to his stand-up and appreciate just how good he really was before he died. And
You mentioned talking about Greg Giraldo and comedians in general. You mentioned about people never look into where the jokes come from. And for some reason, and I know you didn't like this movie, but it definitely, I think, fits what you were saying. In Funny People, there's this one line when Adam Sandler is talking to Seth Rogen, and he's telling him, "You'll never be as funny as me." And Seth Rogen is, "Okay, but why?" And he says, "Well, you know, you had the divorces and the this humor. Me, I had the beatings and the abusive humor. So I had to bring out the funny much quicker in my life. So that's why I'll always be funnier than you." And that's what I just thought of immediately as you were saying that. And I felt like I just wanted to point that.
Good point,
because I like to reference that movie constantly.
If only that movie were better. Alright, so that's pretty much it. I saw some TV shows, but it's the regular How I Met Your Mother, Justified, stuff like that.
Justified was really awesome this week. I watched that tonight.
Last week though.
Yeah,
it's
on. Yeah, it's been really good for like the two seasons that it's been on here, guys. Thanks.
No, you know what happened? And I know you always get on me for this, but seriously, that first episode ruined the rest of the season for me, because it was so good, and then the rest of the season was good, but just nowhere near, and now it's getting closer.
This week I saw a good amount of films. The ones I want to mention, I saw this film, and I don't know if Damon's ever heard of this film. I'm sure he might have. It's from 1989, stars Christian Slater. And it's about someone who's being a detective. It also has someone who was also in Scarface.
Manolo.
Christian Slater is skateboarding. This movie, if Damon hasn't guessed it already, and I think he has, is called Gleaming the Cube.
Have you seen this movie before,
yes,
Damon?
I have.
Is it not one of the greatest movies?
Sadly, it is. It's not good. But it's definitely one of the best movies.
And I think one of my favorite lines from this.
I need to get that. I'm on it tonight.
From what I need, my favorite line from this movie is there's this scene where one of the police officers is giving Christian Slater a hard time, and he says, "Stop jerking me off a hand job," and I'm like, "What?" And it's just bad movie after bad movie after bad movie, and the way they portray the Vietnamese, it's kind of sad. Like, it tries to make the Vietnamese this big thing in America during this time, and I'm sure it was, but this guy, whoever directed this movie, failed completely.
Christian Slater, a Vietnamese brother.
But getting on to the more pretentious good films, you know, moving on. I saw this movie, and I don't know if any of you have seen this film. It's called The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover.
What?
Is it French?
I must not put this in my email.
It is not a French film. Okay, so this film is directed by Preeta Greenaway, who... I think that's his name. I really don't know any of his films. Like, I looked through his IMDb, and it looked like most of his stuff were shorts and TV documentaries and stuff. Like, he had maybe a handful of films, and he started working from, like, the 60s. And The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover. It's apparently, I think this is the famous film with naked Helen Mirren.
No, that's Caligula, isn't it?
Well, she is naked in this movie.
Oh, okay.
It's in the 80s. It's rated NC-17.
Wow, naked Helen.
it also has Tim Roth and Michael Gambon in it.
So, but they're still naked Helen, man.
They're still naked Helen. Damon is not writing this down. It is one of the strangest, oddest films I've seen. And we have seen a lot, thanks to Douglas. It's about this...
You're welcome.
It's about this crook who owns a restaurant, who backs a restaurant, and he basically loves food. So most of the scenes you're seeing is in the restaurant. His wife is Helen Mirren, and she has an affair with this guy, the lover, and it's all about how Michael Gambon, the crook, responds to this and everything. And it's done this really weird way because it feels like it's a play, because the camera almost never leaves this far away point. Like, you can see the camera shift from dining room to kitchen to bathroom, and it just moves along this track. So you barely ever go deeper into the scene, you know, when it cuts like a close up to the characters. And it does that eventually, but it's so few times that you never really pay attention to it. And there's also this weird thing with the colors. Like, every time you go into a different room, there's a different color. And it's not just, you know, the light has a green or a red or a blue, but his clothes will change color. So Helen Mirren will be wearing a red dress, and she in the dining room, and then she moves to the bathroom, and the dress will magically turn white.
Is it that different dress, or is it just a different
It's the same
color?
Exact dress, wow. It's just a different color.
No, but this makes sense. It's like, have you ever been to a white party?
No.
No? Okay, well, how white party works is that you must only wear white. It has nothing to do with, you know, only
no,
white
we realize that.
It's so that's essentially what she has in her house. Every room is its own party.
Well,
so you've got the
it doesn't
red
really
party
give you time to see her change
party.
Clothes.
Thanks for that, Douglas.
But, you know, it's why
Douglas,
she goes
it's okay.
The door frame.
It's okay.
And on every character, you will see something change. Because, like, you'll see the shirt. Like, Michael Gambon is wearing a suit, so you'll see him have a red shirt. And then as he moves, he'll move into a green shirt in the kitchen and a blue shirt outside. And there are very few settings. And it's really one of those messed up, crazy ass movies that I wouldn't recommend to regular people.
Alright, now stop.
Yes, this is a
no,
movie
stop,
you would
stop,
pick.
Stop. I already like this movie. I don't want to hear from you any bad things about it. Okay? Nothing at all. You are to say, I recommend this fully
to Douglas.
And expect Douglas to pick
to
it as his next.
You're not allowed
review.
To pick this movie. I'm not watching this movie again. I don't want to talk about this movie again. it's a crazy movie, and like I would only maybe hint at film lovers to watch this movie, because otherwise you're going to get through like 10 minutes and you're just going to be like, what the fuck am I watching? Like most movies Douglas likes to watch.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Also, I want to mention the Spike Jonze short film I watched this week, I'm Here.
I want to watch that movie Spike so Jones. Bad. Is that the robot movie?
Yes, it's a robot
That's
movie.
That's a robot movie. I keep meaning to watch it and keep forgetting.
Spike Jonze did Wild Things, right?
Yes, he did.
Nope.
As well as Adaptation.
He did the Adaptation as well. Nope. That movie's
and being John Malkovich.
Fantastic.
He did Wild Things, right?
Spike Jonze, he did music videos too.
Okay, no, that's not helping.
He did one for Bjork, I think.
Oh.
He did one for Kanye.
I guess.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You guys realize this isn't helping, right?
I'm Here, it's a really sweet short film. Like, it has a story to it, but to tell the truth, I really didn't care. It's this love story between these two robots.
All his other movies.
I cared about Wild Things. That movie's fantastic. I don't know why. I know why you hate that.
We should probably stop calling it Wild Things because people might be listening and not understanding.
Exactly.
is where the Wild Things are.
We're starring Max Records.
Right. And not the Wild Things with Sheen. It's not that movie.
It's a really sweet love story, and I'm like watching it. I didn't know this, but I figured out that the main character is voiced by Andrew Garfield, and that's really cool.
What's really cool about Andrew Garfield?
He's a cool dude. He's Spider-Man.
Not yet.
Yeah, I love Andrew Garfield.
Ooh, wow! All right, sorry.
Wasn't he in Parnassus?
Yes, he was.
Don't you have to like him by the ball then, Douglas?
I didn't.
He was also in that love science fiction dying movie.
I'm a fan of Parnassus.
That was good, but not great.
What's her name?
But yeah, I really don't want to say much about this movie because since it's a short film, there's kind of not much to say without spoiling everything for anyone who hasn't seen it, but just to say, I kind of liked it. I think it's going to be on some DVD as an extra for Jones, but yeah. Whenever that comes out for people to see everywhere, you guys should watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
It hasn't? I thought it was on the internet. Isn't that what the internet is?
Possibly.
I think
it's VOD somewhere, but yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to mention the other movies I watched because it'd be sad and depressing and
yes,
you guys
would
just mock
because
me.
Because I saw you watching one today. And
just give us the list. And we'll
alright, bad movies I watched this week. I watched How Do You Know? So we'll move on from there. And I also watched...
The $100 million one with...
Owen Wilson, Jack Nicholson, Reese Witherspoon, and Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Forgot.
Let's move on from that. I watched Skyline, and that movie is just stupid beyond regard.
I still haven't watched either of those movies because people keep saying that they're bad and they don't sound bad in the way that I'd like.
Damon. If this movie ended like 10, I can't remember how long it is, but you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes earlier, I probably would have just said it was boring.
Yeah.
But that last 15 minutes just pushed it into stupid beyond all regard. Like, you probably would have loved...
Skyline?
Yes, Skyline. Like, you probably would have...
I thought
you
loved Donald Faison.
In Scrubs. We watched Next Day Air. I had nothing good to say about that.
Why
movie.
Would you guys
that
do
that? That was hard.
Did you guys lose that bet?
Watch that.
I don't know why I thought it was going to be good.
Cause we
saw the trailer. I don't know what enticed me.
Yes, are stupid.
And then I was stupid enough to go with you. This week in trailers, the trailer for Senna came out, the documentary.
I'd like to go first.
The documentary about Ayrton Senna, I'm pronouncing it right.
Ayrton Senna,
the Brazilian Formula One race car driver.
He has no first name.
78, I came to Europe to compete for the first time. It was pure driving, it was real racing. And that makes me happy.
Oh my goodness, this is fantastic!
I think we are watching the arrival of Ayrton Senna, a truly staggering talent.
Are you go, Senna!
He'll be ranked among the all-time greats.
How do you feel about being world champion?
Not a bad feeling at all, is it?
Ayrton has a small problem. He thinks that he can't kill himself. And I think that's very dangerous.
We are competing to win. And And if you no longer go for a gap, you're no longer a racing driver.
I'm gonna let Damon go first since he's. I think he's the most knowledgeable on this topic.
Oh, do you follow Formula? Yeah. Huh?
All right. So, guys, I've been waiting for this documentary for 4 years now because that's when it started. And I read, "Hey, guys, they're doing a documentary about Senna." Now he, let's say, stopped driving before I got into Formula One.
But try not to spoil it, aren't
right?
But no, it's history.
I know, I'm joking with him. I'm joking with him. Damon,
but for anyone who wanted to get into Formula One, you saw the fast cars and you went, "Wow, that's really cool." And anybody who knows anything about Formula One, the first thing they'll tell you is that you need to look at certain drivers. There's key drivers that truly represent what Formula One is and what it represents. And Senna is literally at the top of most people's list. There's people who will argue that he's not the best, but they are
wrong.
A lot
of people think Schumacher's the best.
People who've been watching it for years, no one gives Schumacher the time of day. He's really good, but he drove in an era where the argument, just like with football and all
you know
other
what?
Sports.
People will, what people, I don't follow it very much, but I have a friend that does, and what he says, and what a lot of people I've heard of say, is that really, Schumacher is great, but he's also a bit of a cheat, which kind of takes away from
Schumacher drove in an age where the technology kind of took over. The technology creep eventually took over the cars. Now, it's still extremely difficult to drive these cars. But there's so much tech that is in front of you. That
you know what, though?
Takes
I,
away
I don't
from
take
the
that,
driving.
I don't accept that argument. Because even though I hear you saying that maybe it's less difficult for him to drive than previous years, but he still had to. These technological advances were not only for him; all of his opponents had them as well. So if you look at his standings and his performance,
it equals out
on the relative to everybody else at the time.
Right.
You know.
Right. Hear what I'm saying. You don't watch Formula One. So please keep quiet from now. What I'm trying to say is in Senna's period, and it took me a while to learn this. In Senna's period, literally, they strapped you into a small tin and had a rocket behind you. Right? It was literally the only thing keeping you on the road at all times was your ability to drive. There's nothing else. Nothing else separated you from the side of the wall. Right, there was no fail safes. There was no, even the cars that they drive now aren't anywhere near as powerful as the cars that they drove then. And there's nothing, literally, there's nothing keeping those guys on the road. Now, Schumacher is great, there's no denying that. But as the technology came in, Ferrari was able to kind of stay a step ahead. Right, so while Schumacher is probably one of the best drivers that I've ever seen in person. He had Ferrari's assistance keeping him just a little bit ahead.
Hold on. One thing that I want to interject and say is Schumacher's era. It was a while. He was driving for how long?
Schumacher's been driving for about, call it 20 years at this
20
point.
Years, right? He's driving now, but that don't count. Isn't there... Yes, Ferrari is Ferrari, and clearly they will have lots of cash to throw. But the way I see it is that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have the best car. For example, if you look at today, Hamilton and Mercedes McLaren, they had a great car about 3 or 4 years ago when he won.
Yeah.
And since then, they've got shit. And they've had the money to throw at it. So, you know, I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would assume that Schumacher had the same sort of situation where it was possible, yes, he had a great car 1 year, but another year his car doesn't have to be as great as the rest of them.
I think we're getting away from the point. Senna literally was a demon, and no one drove like him, and I don't think they'll allow anyone else to drive like him. He won. That was his entire aim. It was technically a team sport, but not for him. His aim was to win, and he went for. I mean, he did lap times. He did things in that car that literally weren't thought possible. And when you see just how, I mean, Formula One, as much as it is about driving fast, there's a lot of strategy. And this guy threw the entire second half of Formula One out the window. He didn't care about strategy. He was aggressive at all times. Even when he was winning, that still didn't prevent him from being more aggressive than anyone else. And he had a competition. I want people who don't know anything about Formula One to watch the movie, so I'm not going to say who his fiercest competitor was. But that guy was also extremely, like, unbelievably good. And those two elevated Formula One from where it was. I mean, I was not alive then, so I'm just going off stuff that I've heard, stuff that I've read. And I mean, every time I see his driving style, and you compare it to what is present day, you kind of have to step back and realize just how good these guys really had to be in order to, like, stay alive. And Senna is, I mean, that guy, he's just, like, literally, he's what driving, he represents driving. He's what Jordan is to basketball. I mean,
so essentially, what you're saying is that this trailer didn't need to be made because to watch the movie anyway.
No, it needed to be made for other people. Anybody who knows anything about Formula One or enjoys it in any way was going to watch this movie, regardless. I think I think Top Gear got a test viewing of it at one point because I think they did a special. But I cannot wait. Oh my! I mean, I'm telling you guys now. This is already the best movie. Nothing will come close.
Crystal, what did you think of this trailer?
Well, okay. So I have no prior knowledge of Formula One. I mean, I know it exists, but it's definitely not a big thing here in America. We have NASCAR as far as racing goes, and even NASCAR? That I'm not really into. But as a trailer, I thought it looked like a really interesting story. I'd never heard of it before. Like, I've never heard of him before. So the trailer definitely got my interest peaked to watch the movie as a non-Formula One fan.
So question to you is, who would you rather watch race? Now that you've seen this trailer, and hopefully you can answer this better when you've seen the film, Ayrton Senna or Ricky Bobby?
Answer to that is simple.
Oh man, but that's hard because Ricky Bobby has shake and bake, So, but just watching the trailer with Senna and his need to win, and how he was talking about in the trailer how you have to go after every gap or else you're not really racing. I thought that was really interesting. So yeah. It looked really cool, and something that I have no prior knowledge on, so it'll be an educational movie if I end up seeing it.
Okay. Andrew, do you think that Senna, you're probably the best person to ask. So when he was driving, do you think that he actually brought in to the car cups of macchiato to drink? No.
He probably did.
You spilled my macchiato.
Seriously, this trailer was amazing. I have been kind of not quite forced, but
you've been flirting.
Not flirting. my friend had tried to get me to watch Formula One for a long time, and it just, I mean, I've tried. Right. I've
better
watched
things
pieces,
to do,
and it just didn't really appeal to me. But
Chair
this trailer. No, this trailer just, it it makes it look great. It does a really good job, as you say, of showing the man, showing his competitiveness, showing how much of a star he really is. And that kind of star power, that awe that you see from the crowd as he waves to them, kind of confers or it kind of moves into you as you watch a trailer. And so now I am completely hooked. I am sold. I want to watch this movie. This trailer is great.
I was sold on this movie before I watched this movie. I'm not a Formula One fan. I'm not a car person.
I'm mocking you, sir.
Yes, I know that. I like I'll see cars in real life and I'll be like, that one's pretty, that one's not. And that one's fast, that one's not. But I never really read up on cars or anything. I don't care.
Stop digging this hole now?
I watch Top Gear, however, and it's not for the cars more than for the comedy of these three guys making fun of each other. However, last year they did a short film on Ayrton Senna, which was the first time I actually heard of him. When, after seeing that short film and hearing that there was a movie being made, I was sold then. I didn't need this trailer, because that short film portrayed to me the same thing that this trailer shows, as you guys have already mentioned, that desire to win, that need to win, and the way that he is, as Damien puts it, continuously aggressive on the track.
Aggressive.
No. the idea that someone would put themselves at that level of risk just for a win, when sometimes you look at this as a profession as opposed to a hobby. When you look at this as a hobby and a passion, then you'll understand Senna. But when you look at it as a profession, like how you would look at Michael Schumacher and Hamilton, then you can understand when... I don't want to say this for sure because, as I said, I don't watch Formula One. But maybe during a race, he purposely doesn't push for number one because he knows he has it in the bag. But you know what I mean, theoretically, right? And that's what interests me about this character and seeing this documentary. He is a character. Like, come on. We talk about certain people in real life and they are characters. You know? Jose is a character.
This is when you say it. You're talking about, you know, this character is great. Sounds like you're talking about a fake story. I'm just saying.
As opposed to real stories.
This is definitely a real story.
And apparently I read somewhere that this entire documentary was created from private archive footage that has never been seen before.
Pretty much.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it filmed first, not filmed, it screened first in Japan.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I saw some reviews out of Sundance this year, I think it played, and they were all ridiculously positive.
Yeah, it won some big award over there.
It won at Sundance for best documentary.
Anyways, another documentary trailer came out this week. The greatest movie ever sold. The new Morgan Spurlock film. He did Super Size Me before. Now he's taking on advertisement and product placement.
So what I want to do is make a film all about product placement, marketing, and advertising, where the entire film is funded by product placement, marketing, and advertising. The goal of this whole film is transparency. You're going to see the whole thing take place from beginning to end.
Morgan is an idiot. He thinks all of Americans are idiots, and all the people who sponsored this film are idiots.
So ultimately, what we want to try and do is create what is the Iron Man of documentaries. Everything from top to bottom is branded from beginning to end. First time ever, documentary with collector cups.
You're going to be on that like a wet t-shirt. Is there a plot?
Liz, this is the movie right now.
I think the thing to do is go get a client.
Can we please get Mane and Tail to be the sponsor? What are the words that you would use to describe Ban? Ban is blank.
That's a great question.
I want to ask Crystal first. What did you think of this trailer?
I think it looks really interesting. Like, I'm definitely going to see this movie. Because, I used to work in like marketing and advertising, so I definitely want to see how he puts this movie together. It's like a movie about funding this movie. And I like the quote in the trailer about how it's like the inception of documentaries. That it definitely looks totally interesting. And I'm a huge fan of his from like Super Size Me. I really enjoyed that. And he did a TV show. I don't know if you guys got it out there, but he did the 30 Days TV show. And that was, I saw a couple episodes of that, and it's really, he's using film as a medium to like change people's perspective, and which, you know, all good documentaries should do. So I'm excited for it.
Okay. I wasn't going to say much. All I was going to say is that you don't need a trailer to sell me on a Morgan Spurlock movie.
Yeah.
Super Size Me was fucking awesome. Ergo, Douglas should watch this movie.
I see something in Damien's eyes that he wants to say.
True. Advertising is bad. Is this the aim of this movie? Didn't they all come to this conclusion like billions of years ago? I'm not really looking forward to it because I'm pretty sure I know where this Sherlock's going. Guys, advertising is not great. I'm hoping that he doesn't take one side of the issue. I'm hoping he shows the other side of advertising, not the dark evil side that everyone seems to point at and go, advertising is dark and evil, but the, hey, if we need to sell shit, someone's going to have to tell people what to buy, and I'd like them to show some of that. I mean, I'm pretty sure we all know the evils, in quotes, of advertising, but if that's all he's going to show me, I'd rather watch Senna a second, third, fourth.
I'm actually working with an ad agency right now.
We know. We see your soul crying downstairs, weeping in the corner.
And this just looks infinitely interesting to me, because it's not so much showing the evil side of advertising that I'm worried about. It's more looking forward to the idea of watching him create this film all funded by advertising, and how he tries to manage all of those egos all at once. Because I'm sure it's more than like 5 people he's gotten to come in on this movie, advertising and fund it. Because if it was just 5, he could just walk around with those 5 things on him as he walks around a mall, and no one has to. He's always advertising them. But I just want to find out how he puts this together. And that's what keeps me wanting to see this movie.
The only thing I was interested in this trailer is that there's a point where the guy said, people should know, there should be like a pop-up when people...
I did love that bit.
That segment. Like
a billion of them there, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, also, actually yesterday, this week, it came out, the first full theatrical trailer for Captain America came out.
Rogers, Steven.
Just give me a chance.
Sorry, son. I'm saving your life.
General Patton has said that wars are fought with weapons, but they are won by men.
You just don't know when to give up, do you?
I could do this all day.
Our goal is to create the greatest army in history.
I should be going with you.
Look, I know you don't think I can do this.
This isn't a back alley, Steve. It's war.
But every army begins with one man.
5 tries in 5 different cities.
I can offer you a chance.
He will be the first in a new breed of super soldiers.
Why me? Because a weak man knows the value of strength, knows the value of power.
That wasn't so bad.
That was penicillin.
Because we have the best men.
Now, Mr. Stark.
Nay, we personally escort Adolf Hitler to the gates of hell.
Damien, I know you're into these kinds of films, so I want to go to you first.
What does that mean?
It's stupid, it has action, and it's in converted 3D. I know you want to watch it.
Yeah, I really want to watch this movie. I enjoyed the first half of this trailer more than the second half, because I know what action is supposed to look like. I'm glad that they are telling some kind of story with this.
I'm not fond of how Captain America looks. I don't think that's the movie's fault. I think it's because Captain America looks like a douchebag at all times. And no matter what he did, unless you were going to put him in a black suit, he was always going to come out looking like this. Hopefully, Johnny Blaze, that's his name. Hopefully, he does a great job. And it's entertaining. His name is
Evil X number 2.
No, it's not even Johnny Blaze or Evil X. Isn't it Johnny Torch?
Yeah, Torch, right. Torch, right. Johnny Torch.
I was trying to figure out
Lucas what Lee. About Lucas Lee. I was trying to remember his proper name. Yeah.
Lucas Lee. Johnny Torch.
That dude from Sunshine.
Flame on.
I really like Sunshine. I love that movie.
I'm sure you do.
Doesn't everybody like Sunshine? Wow, Douglas.
I'm sorry. I mean,
you just don't like good movies.
As we figured out from the movies he makes us watch. Anyways, yeah,
too straightforward. I hope all action movies are good. I love them. I understand that all of them cannot be good. This movie should have come out on July 4th. I do not know how they managed to miss that date. That is ridiculous. How can a Captain America movie not come out on Independence Day?
July 4th is a Monday.
It doesn't matter. It's a holiday. Open it July, what would it be, the 1st? And have it run through to July 4th. They can't. How can they have this movie miss Independence Day? That doesn't make any sense.
Not I think someone got fired because of that.
Yeah, I hope someone got fired because of that. They're ridiculous.
Do you think that they'll have the Team America song in it somewhere?
I hope they have the credits. As soon as it hits credits, that's all I want to hear.
And
see fireworks.
America!
And those fireworks. And I'll just, right. And leave the movie. Or they could get Daft Punk to do the soundtrack. That would help.
That works for you, right?
It helped Tron.
So question is, how many Daft Punk albums have you listened to at this
so
point?
So far, five.
Five, okay.
I mean, like, 2 weeks. I should stop. But they're really good. They're really good.
Douglas.
This trailer, Captain America. Hugo Weaving ripped off his face.
Which is a plus.
A plus.
It's definitely a plus.
It's a plus. No, this trailer actually, it's a huge, huge step up from what I've been watching from these teasers that came out for this movie. But at the same time, not huge enough to make me think it's going to be a good movie. It looks like it could be a good movie. I'll give it the potential. The possibility is there.
Do you watch Next Day Air, so you should give that to every movie.
Fuck you. But this trailer still makes it look like, instead of, so before it looked like a horrible movie, now it looks like an okay movie.
I'll take okay.
Maybe I can watch. So I give the trailer that. It transformed my expectations. And it actually gave me a little bit of hope. I also, not only do I think it's probably going to be a good movie, but I hope that it could be good. Some of the action scenes, especially in the first half, well, the first half wasn't much action, but some of the action scenes and a lot of the first half look like it could be really, really good. So, again, please,
as long as
Chris
it's
Evans,
better
don't
than
miss Ang
Lee's Hulk.
You've been in a lot of bad movies. You have never really acted well. Just please.
Can you stop it?
Lucas Lee.
Be okay.
Exactly.
He was in a movie for 5 minutes one time.
Fantastic
good.
Four.
What the fuck? Oh, shit.
He was good in those movies.
He was what
him.
He needs to be,
I
right?
enjoyed him.
Crystal, Captain America, thoughts?
I am so looking forward to the movie. I've been looking forward to it for a while, though, because I am a huge comic book movie nerd. So, like, I'm looking forward to Captain America, Thor, everything. But the trailer, I thought, was a big step up from, like, everything they've released has gotten better. Because, like, I went to Comic-Con, and they showed, like, a teaser clip, like, 10 seconds. And it looked pretty bad. Like, it was just like a costume test or something, but it just did not look good. And so, like, from there, the only place to go was up. And so, yeah, I, like, you know, they're going to do like explosions well and all that stuff, like the big action, I think. And like, I was most impressed by the way they made, by how good, like, little mini Chris Evans Captain America looks, like, before he gets all super. Like, it's kind of weird, but I think they did a good job with, like, the CGI to kind of do that and make it look, like, realistic.
Yeah, Joe Johnson, he thanks David Fincher for that. Because between Benjamin Button and Social Network, he pretty much patted down that technique of...
Didn't he use that technique for Tron as well to reverse age Finch.
It's not even the reverse age business,
well,
you know, it's the
putting a face on top of another
and
body.
Making it look
a face on a puny body.
And making it look actually real. Like you'd believe
which
it
didn't.
Yeah, no, it's
are you talking about Tron now or
I'm talking about Tron.
Okay, yeah, because I'm getting a little confused.
No, I'm talking about Tron.
Oh yeah, Tron was horrible.
It looked decent in this.
No, the CG looked horrible.
In this?
Yeah,
in
his face was so creepy.
No,
it's the uncanny valley where it was just like in the eyes, it didn't look right.
I have to say that I'm more on the Damian side than the Douglas side.
What's the Damian side? Remind me.
Action is awesome.
Action is awesome. I do admit that the moment that I see Chris Evans in Captain America uniform, I then go, this looks really stupid. But then I see shit blow up and I'm like, I can forgive that.
Pretty pictures.
If
they say that, this movie is a 10. Let me be clear.
No. First of all, Damon, you're wrong. The movie will be an 11 because it gets plus one for having Tommy Lee Jones in it.
So it's plus one for Tommy Lee, plus one for weaving, plus one for ripping off his face. So they're at 3 points.
Are we working with 10 or 5?
No, we're working with 10.
Alright.
If he rips off his face at any point, and anyone, even if it's off screen, says face off,
that
is 6 points. So they are at 9. So as long as there's a movie, it will get a 10. It's automatic.
So you're saying this is number 2 to Senna immediately.
Right. Later, if someone yells face off, this is the best movie of the year. Guaranteed.
Okay, does it need to be contextually face off, or can it be? He just ripped his face off.
Look, as long as face and off is anywhere in the vicinity of him taking off his face, even if it's off camera, this movie is great.
Right. I think at this point we can just move on because you guys have said everything I want to say. This movie, like, I still worry because we're talking about the guy who directed
Wolfman.
Jurassic Park 3.
No, forget that. Wolfman. Fuck you, Joe Johnson. You made me watch that movie.
You see, I'm willing to forgive Wolfman because of all the complaints from him and Satan about how he couldn't get to make his movie. So I'm willing to let that one go. However, there is also Jurassic Park 3.
I like Jurassic Park 3.
The Rocketeer.
I didn't mind.
What?
What are you implying, sir?
First of all, I know you know what this movie is. Damon, do you not know what the Rocketeer is? Have you never heard of
the same movie?
Because the Rocketeer is awesome.
The guy flying with the rocket strapped to his back. That movie's garbage.
That movie's fantastic.
And also Jumanji.
There are no nostalgia goggles happening.
All right. Also Jumanji.
Jumanji as a child.
Jumanji's
and I
awesome.
Love that movie.
Thank
Jumanji's
you.
Jumanji's great. I forgive him for
everything.
I've
never watched that movie as an adult.
Wait, are you serious? So those are the movies that he's made? I may have to re-evaluate this man as a director.
He also has made The Pagemaster, which was an animated film.
No idea what that is.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where it starts out real live action and then it goes into a animated thing. I think that's the movie.
Did he make good movies at any point?
Yes, there's Jumanji and there's Rocketeer.
I'm sorry, I loved Jumanji as a child, but I rewatched that movie in the last couple of years.
That's your problem, Andrew.
And it's just so wrong.
Destroying your childhood.
Also in The Rocketeer, that was another one that I loved as a child.
The movie's garbage.
Rewatched it in the last couple of years.
The movie was bad.
The movie is bad.
The movie was the best movie ever. Listen, a man flew
because he strapped two huge hunks of fuel that burned on the on his back. Really? Come on.
It works with spaceships. Why wouldn't it work here?
Exactly.
Logic.
Yeah.
I mean, we're taking that same logic into Captain America.
Sure. Try that. I'll accept that.
I do like tiny Chris Evans, though. He looks kind of... He looks like... It looks like I'd believe it if I didn't know what Chris Evans looked like.
I don't know. I think it looked a little bit too clean, but it's still really, really good.
What I enjoy most about Captain America as a character is that he represents everything that America is, and he was created by steroids. Built by drugs. Captain America.
Well, that just further proves that he represents everything
exactly.
That America is.
Exactly.
Live from Philadelphia, it's the 125th annual Mayflower Kennel Club Dog Show. 3,000 dogs competing for best in show. To think that in some countries these dogs are eaten.
Cookie and I work as a team. We met at this dance.
He didn't want to dance.
I got two left feet.
I thought he was kidding.
But I wasn't. I was born with two left feet.
Beatrice has been showing
this week.
Signs.
I want us to all talk about the 2000 film by Christopher Guest, Best in Show. And
by the way, I have one thing to say to you. It's not Christopher Guest. It's Sir Christopher Guest.
Sir Christopher Guest. And Damon is always already raising his hand, so I'm worried. You can go ahead, sir.
Why did we have to watch this movie?
I knew this was coming.
What? Please. Take me through the process
of why I picked
this movie.
Alright, what happened was, for the last 3 weeks, we have all watched very serious, gritty foreign films.
Okay, which we all enjoyed.
Which we all enjoyed. And then I said, you know what? I need to break up this monotony.
Oh, so and, you said, okay.
And I went to the internet, and I typed, Jesus movies Christ. You've missed. And I just went through lists. And I
and
hadn't
the best
seen
that you could do I, was Best in Show.
And I hadn't seen Christopher Guest's Best in Show. So I said, let us all watch it and talk about it.
If you're going to give me a Christopher Guest movie, and this kind of goes into our discussion, but whatever, why not A Mighty Wind? That movie is
that
exponentially better. But I'm sorry, I'm really cutting into Damien's.
No. You guys talk first, because this is not going to end well.
This movie, Andrew, it's so... Before I watched this, I said to you that I'd seen it before. It was a long time ago.
It comes on every year near the Westminster Dog Show because they think it's hilarious.
So I'd seen this movie and I thought it was bad at the time. But I was willing to give it another chance because, you know, my humor has changed. I'm more into that stuff now. A Mighty Wind, I love.
More into that stuff.
but Andrew, this movie is just so average. You can see what they're trying to do. And I'm not saying that they're not funny, but I didn't laugh. And I was not entertained. Every once in a while, maybe I said, oh, that's interesting. But, I mean, I don't really have much to say about this movie. It's just not that good. Okay. Crystal, what do you have to say about this movie?
Well, okay. I didn't get a chance to rewatch it, but I watched it, like, many years ago. I had no idea it was 11 years old. makes me feel old. But, I mean, I remember really liking it. I mean, I really like the mockumentary style and Christopher Guest. Like, I love This is Spinal Tap, like, one of my favorites. And so I remember really liking this, and I watched some of the clips. Like, I didn't watch the whole movie because I didn't have time, but it's just that oddball humor that, and I don't know, maybe the fact that I'm a dog lover makes me like it even a bit more, but it's that weird humor that I just really enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I can hear that.
this is the first time I'm actually watching this film, directed by Christopher Guest. He's been lauded by critics by his films that he's created. I've seen him as an actor previously, and I liked him.
The Man with Six Fingers.
And I think this is the first film I'm watching directed by him, and I actually really liked it. It's not one of those movies that I definitely would consider the greatest comedy of all time, because it definitely isn't. It's one of those very subversive comedies. Like, I never caught myself laughing hysterically at it, but at the same time, I was watching it and I kept going.
Damien is now taking notes, and I will read from his notebook. It says,
Andrew is stupid
during a comedy. Apparently that makes this good. He is crazy.
I'm not sure whether to believe exactly what you're writing. Like, what I really loved was after, like, the first half of the movie and we finally got to the dog show itself, I loved how it became very obvious. Damon is just taking notes, and I'm really worried at this point. Really obvious that these dogs had no character, and all the character that was being forced upon them was from their owners, which were these ridiculous over-the-top characters, including people like Jane Lynch and, oh shit, what's his name?
Which one are you talking about?
The guy with two left feet.
Eugene Levy.
And all of their personas and how they want to perceive their dogs as what they really are is what they really force upon them. And I found that hysterical. Like, for example, the owners of the sporting dog. I can't remember what kind of dog it is, because honestly, I've never owned a dog. I like dogs, but I've never owned one. And I've never had that experience as a pet owner, but I still kind of felt something to this movie. And
smelly and a pain in the ass.
Also, you've never owned one either. Okay. Wonder why.
Because they're smelly and a pain in the ass.
Not like children.
Well, at least with children, after a while, you can talk to them.
No, wait, and
they'll talk back.
Do you realize parents don't talk to children? That's why they run them out of the house. That is part of the problem. They're talking back.
Seeing those owners, the ones of the sporting dog, and how over the top they get with how they have to control their pet, it's insane to me, and I love it. Especially, and what I loved even more is when we got to the
The sporting dog is the gray one.
The gray one.
Oh, so that's the one.
With the toy. When they freak out for the bee.
Yeah,
that's a great
Pansy Parker Posey, right?
I don't know the actor's name.
Yeah.
And when we got to the dog show and we started seeing the commentary from Fred Willard and whoever that other dude was. Fred Willard, I love him, and he's fantastic in that bit. It reminded me a lot of Dodgeball. Because
another great movie. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't.
I love Dodgeball. Because when you get to the end and you're dealing with the tournament and you have the commentary by, I can't remember who, plus Jason Bateman.
Chuck Norris is a part
of the board who then gives the thumbs up. But Jason Bateman is basically the guy there who they paid because he's famous and he has absolutely no idea what he's commentating on.
The best and probably only good part about that movie was Stanley Tudyk. Going,
Ayar. Alan Tudyk.
Alan, whatever. His name is Tudyk.
He's the pirate.
British. And he says, Yarg. All the time.
He's not British. Is he?
In real life, yes.
Is he British?
I think so.
I swore he was American.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe.
I think he's American.
Damn it.
I think.
Really, really, we're actually checking this out. This is what is of paramount importance.
Yes, it is of paramount importance. He's from El Paso, Texas, USA.
Why do you put on British accents in movies that I see you in and make me assume you are of
that? Are you talking about that damn Heath Ledger film that he's in? The night one that you like? Night's Tale?
Oh, I do like that one, but no, I was actually more thinking about stuff like Death at the Funeral.
Whatever. Are you talking about the movie in which he plays the American in the British film?
Carrie, move on, please.
Death at the Funeral. Are we talking about the same movie?
Yeah.
The one that Mark Lawrence just remade?
Yeah.
He plays a British man who's high as off his ass.
No, he is the American in the group. I am willing to bet on this one.
Possibly. Maybe I'm wrong. I did not like that movie, and so
everyone else was British. It's kind of like in the new one, how everyone else is black, and there's Marsden, who's the white guy.
Oh, that was hilarious.
No, it's the whole same thing. Everyone is British, and Tudyk is the American.
He's white.
Which is why they keep going on. They won't. The woman has to keep telling him about how, don't worry, they love you anyways, you know?
Maybe. Whatever.
Anyways,
he was British.
Yeah.
I was talking about Best in Show, and that movie I thought was quite funny. And I know Damien is ready to let it out, so go, Damien.
I saw this movie. Billions,
I'm sure.
And billions of years ago. Because, again, they show it every time the Westminster Dog Show is
Stop.
On USA.
Right there.
Yes.
Do you watch the Westminster Dog
yes,
Show?
Yes, I do.
Like, religiously?
No, I do not. I have a mother who watches it. And I sit beside her and go, our dogs will never look like that. So you're wasting your time. It is fun to watch sometimes. But not religiously, no. No, this movie wasn't funny when I saw it years ago. And do you know when you make a unfunny movie less funny? When you spend 1 week looking at actual comedy by one of the best to ever do it, like, say, Greg Giraldo. Now, this movie has every single stereotype they could find to put into the movie. And then they follow it up by amplifying those stereotypes by making them stereotypical dog owners, and so it's this amalgamation of
so any
horrendous
stereotypes. If they own dogs,
no, they're taking one stereotype and merging it with another stereotype, right? And it takes the not funniness of this of both stereotypes to a whole nother level. Nothing in this movie was funny.
So,
nothing. There was, you said, and I quote, I didn't laugh while watching this movie. And you enjoyed
You're taking
it.
That out of context,
no,
sir.
You didn't laugh watching the movie. Alright? And you enjoyed the movie. Try and imagine someone who is hating every second of the movie, what they must think. Alright? The movie isn't funny. There's no insightful. It is. There. It is essentially the Scary Movie 3 of dog lovers book. Where you sit there and you go, really, guys? Oh, so he's gay, and he's gay, and they don't match. She's old, and he's older, and she's a lesbian, and they all love dogs, and they're all crazy people. And you just wait for something funny to be said, and then it's 90 minutes later, you're stabbing yourself in the neck, and you cannot understand why the credits won't roll. This movie, it's just bad, right? I'm sure someone thought it was funny at the time, much like how when Scary Movie came out, it might have been funny at the time. 10 years of distance doesn't help that. The jokes, it's not sharply written, you're wrong, because nothing they said was anything outside of a stereotype, right? In fact, how I know this movie isn't funny, when you look at the clips on YouTube for this movie, these are the clips that come up. I have two left feet, which are hilarious. We both love soup. We both love soup because he's old and doesn't talk, and she's slightly less old. So we both love soup. Once again, I can see it on your faces. You guys are dying with laughter.
I'd like to make it clear, I did not like this movie.
No, I'm talking
yeah.
to Andrew.
Okay.
Every single clip that I watch, I went, serious, so this is the funny parts of the movie. The guy is like, macadamia nut, red macadamia nut, white macadamia nut.
And you know what?
These
you know
are
weird?
The portions
that
people
really
pick
funny
out
when they
of
did
the...
that in Forrest Gump. How did these guys mess that up?
Right. For example, I know everything about shrimp.
Yeah.
And you were laughing. This guy, nothing. This movie fails on every level except one. It was a fake documentary. Right? It looked like a fake documentary. It's just sad that nothing in this movie is actually funny. It may be funny if you're 13 and you don't know what jokes are supposed to be, but I passed that threshold years and years ago. This movie is just bad. And they put enough good actors that this movie shouldn't have been that bad. But if someone had bothered to read the script once and go, guys, you know none of this is funny, right? Oh, the gay dude that's flamboyant. How is that still funny? It's 2000. Still funny? Maybe it was funny before the World Trade Center fell, right? Maybe in that time before, we were fighting 900 wars. Maybe then it was funny because you had a much rosier outlook on the world. And jokes about dogs and gay people were hilarious. But it's not anymore. Dare say it wasn't funny then, but I didn't watch it then. And it's definitely not funny now. If I had to give this movie a rating, I'd give it a 1 because there are stars in the movie. Nothing else about this movie is good. I'd never recommend this movie to even people I hate. I wouldn't send this movie to Hitler. That is how bad this movie is.
But he liked dogs.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
He shot his dogs first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking up. This is literally the only movie I can think of that I would watch less than this movie is the one by this youth. That's the only
movie. Which
movie
is that?
Butcher Boy! What kind of question is that? That's the only movie I can think of and I'd watch Biodome over watching this movie.
Crystal.
No, seriously, how did you come up with this pick of all the movies in the world, Andrew?
Crystal, I need some help here. Is there anything you have to say to Damon at his point?
Oh, and I own dogs. And love dogs.
It's not the type of movie where you're gonna laugh out loud all the time.
Again,
it's not,
so it's a comedy that you don't laugh at. Okay, check. So that's Andrew and Crystal. Don't laugh at comedies, alright? I'm writing this down.
But I don't know, one of my favorite movies, I don't laugh at when I'm watching it, but it's so funny. It's Little Shop of Horrors, which also has a cameo by Christopher Guest. And it's just the type of humor that you're like, you're watching it, and you're like, and it takes normal life and kind of twists it a little. Like there's a scene in Best in Show where they're talking with the sporting dog, the gray dog. They're talking about how they met in different Starbucks.
Right.
And I was watching that, and that was one of the clips I watched to kind of refresh my memory on the movie. And I was like, I can't believe this is 11 years old, because I feel like that's what people would say now, because that's just a commentary on how many Starbucks there are and the ridiculousness of that. And so, I mean, it's not like I was watching the clip and big, knee slapping laugh. But it was funny. And that's kind of how the whole movie is. It's like the subtle humor that you're just kind of it's totally like that still. And I don't know. It's okay. It's not a comedy you laugh at. You're kind of just smirking while you watch it.
I have to say, on a side note, as soon as I heard that joke about the Starbucks across, I immediately thought of Louis Black's joke.
Did you laugh at Louis Black's Starbucks across from a Starbucks joke? Yes, you did. Right? What happened when the Starbucks was across from the Starbucks? It was the end of the universe. That was a good joke. Because Louis Black is funny, nothing in this movie. In fact, that single joke from Louis Black made you laugh more than this entire movie.
I refuse to comment on that statement.
So let's be clear. A single joke from Louis Black took about a minute to set up, a minute to execute. So 2 minutes of a stand-up special made you laugh harder than 90 minutes of this supposed comedy. How would you rate Louis Black's joke in terms of if it was just a 2 minute shot, you would have given that Louis Black joke
fantastic.
Right. A 9. A 9 out of 10.
A fantastic.
Right.
Let's call it a fantastic.
Right. So I'll give that joke an 8 because Hitlerosaurus is the best joke ever told.
That joke, pretty good. So it's about an 8. And that is 2 minutes. Now this movie is 90 minutes. And didn't approach anything near that joke. So based on my scale, which I'm using logic to govern, 2 minutes of 2 minutes, 5 or so laughs, 90 minutes, 0 laughs, as according to one Andrew Robinson and one Crystal. So that's a 1. It's a 1.
Wait, so thank you movie, for trying. The movie exists.
Right.
So
thank you
one.
For trying, but this movie's garbage.
Yes. All right, Douglas talks favorably about A Mighty Wind, which is the other Christopher Guest film. Have you seen that, Damien?
No, I haven't.
You haven't. Have you seen that film, Crystal?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I haven't seen it. So
I was hoping you just have to believe what I tell you.
Douglas is right.
So Douglas, since you're the only one who's seen it, I just want to ask: in comparison to Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, where does it fall?
Was there
wait, what part of exponentially better did you not understand?
Wait, I have one question. Did you laugh?
Yes.
Was it a comedy?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Was it the same mockumentary style?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And that's why I said also that it is kind of getting into the next argument that we're going to talk about. But
I laughed more in that night than this movie. just to make that clear. Right? Not a comedy, still laugh though. No laugh.
So is it then fair to say that this would or would not be the inception of comedies?
This might be the inception of comedy, where it is planting a joke in someone else's mind, and then 4 layers later, they're able to tell an actual joke. This is the seed. Someone saw this and went, "This is garbage. I should make a better version of all that I've seen here." And they did. Years.
Okay, so I guess Crystal is quite positive on this film.
Yeah, but she hasn't seen it in 9 years. So what she
has
true. To say.
That is me. True. But I was watching clips and I still thought those were funny.
But you didn't laugh.
I'm positive on this film, but Douglas and Damien are negative. So we're 50-50. So I guess it's up to you guys to take a vote.
Would you like to spend 90 minutes not laughing? Or do something else. Like watch paint dry. You won't laugh at that either. That's a guarantee. You might smirk. Wow, this paint takes a long time to dry. But you won't be laughing. Right.
Some sort of acceptance.
Light will flick on. You'll have something else to do.
So what that means is this feminism.
It's the theory that women should be equal to men in matters economic,
now,
social,
you are laughing.
And
yeah.
Political.
That is the problem.
Do you think a woman should be educated?
Definitely.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
That is wrong.
But the government scientist, Dr. Yamak, have proved it is size of squirrel.
He's wrong.
Give me a smile, baby. Why angry face?
Well, what you're saying is very demeaning. Do you know the word demeaning?
No.
We are saying to you
I could not concentrate on what this old man was saying.
Okay, can we finish now?
Listen, pussycat, smile a bit.
All right. That's it.
Okay.
I'm done.
We're finished. We have to leave.
So this week, tying in with Best of Show, I wanted to talk about mockumentaries.
Oh, so I can leave now. There's nothing off the sauce. There's nothing on this paper.
About mockumentaries.
I have a few on this paper.
I didn't really want to talk about lists of mockumentaries, but more about like our feelings on mockumentaries. We've seen them time and time again through films like Borat and...
Shut up,
man.
I'm taking money.
And also, The Office is a TV show, and also last year's
very polarizing film, I'm Still Here.
In the Loop.
Or is it I'm Still There?
I'm still here.
I keep mixing up that title.
In the Loop was also...
Kind of mockumentary. It didn't feel like a documentary. It felt like there were enough moments where it felt like it was going into the narrative style rather than...
Fair enough.
Documentary. Like, nice. I'll give you. I wasn't going to name that movie, but it does touch on that kind of style. And I wanted to hear, like, what you guys felt about this style of storytelling. Because it is very divisive when you get into this. There are very few films which pull it off well. Crystal, are there any movies that you can call out or anything about this style that makes you feel positive on it?
Well, I really like mockumentaries when it's used for comedy. I know, like, you guys weren't fans. Not everybody's a fan of Best in Show, but This is Spinal Tap is one of my favorite movies, period. And it just uses the style so well to tell jokes in ways that you can't tell a joke in traditional narrative form. And so, for comedies, I'm a huge fan of it. But when it comes to the documentary, when it comes to, the drama style, I'm Still Here. And, I think that's where it doesn't work quite as well. Because people might not get that it's fake. Or they spend more time debating if it's true or if it's fake to talk about the movie and focus on the movie. But in comedy, it works better. And it's more obvious that it's they're using the style to make it funnier.
No, I think comedy definitely works best because I think most of the mockumentaries that I've seen to this point are mostly comedies. And
would you consider a Social Network a mockumentary? Seriously.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Because he sat in a room being asked questions for the entire time.
I would never consider that a mockumentary.
He's just reliving...
That's
weak.
That's very weak.
Actually, you know what? A movie that's in that vein that I think is a little bit closer, but also you could argue another way, is Frost Nixon.
Yeah, that. I mean, yeah, but
that then, has,
well,
yeah. Thing is,
they do break.
But then there's very much a narrative to it.
It's Tropic Thunder.
Anyway, are you guys just picking random comedies at this point?
No, I have a nice list that I want to talk about. What were you saying?
Oh yeah,
comedy.
Comedies
are better than dramas.
Yeah, because the truth about it is that because it's a documentary style that they're going for, they have this idea of giving you these characters where they're just straight-faced giving you these facts. They're giving you who they really are, and we are laughing at how ridiculous they are. There is no laugh track to go with it. There is no pause for you to laugh at the movie to then make it start again. It's just people sitting there and going, I can turn my amp to 11. And it just hits your brain. And going back to Louis Black, just like one of his famous jokes, your left side of the brain looks at the right side of the brain and says, what the fuck was that shit? And you just laugh at that. And it's great. But at the same time, there are so many films which try to do that and I think fail to make that much of an... have that much of an effect on you when you're watching it. And I guess the dramas definitely fail because all I'm thinking about is I'm Still Here, which I really hated.
And Inception.
And I guess you guys mentioned it earlier, In the Loop, which I really wasn't thinking about, but it does... Really, it kind of wavers around this style of filmmaking. And for me, I guess it was that it was too quick at the time for me. I haven't gone back to watch it since I first saw it. It was just, there was one good character and the rest of them kind of felt like they were walking around this character. And you know which character I'm talking about, Malcolm Ingram.
Right. I disagree, but that's fine.
But I should probably revisit that film. And talking about In the Loop, another film which felt very much like In the Loop, and you can tell me, I don't know if you've seen this yet, whether it at least comes close to talking to feeling like a mockumentary at points, is Four Lions.
It's very much like In the Loop. Right.
So would you consider it closing in on mockumentary?
Yeah, kind of.
kind of, because they are making kind of a documentary, but there's a starting and end point, and they go.
There's a very big difference between the Best in Show, which you spoke about,
right.
And not just in like you complaining about it not being funny, like the whole style.
I agree. Four Lions is more like in the loop than the dog movie that we just
did. It's also less unfunny.
Yeah, I laughed in Four Lions.
Yeah, me too. I had to stop halfway through, but you know,
some.
I guess I think that you guys are in a sense onto something with this talk about comedies working well. And of course, comedies work extremely well as mockumentaries because, well, when you're dealing with fake subject matter, it's always easier. To make fun of it. And that just, it works well. It's what's entertaining. And I mean, if you look, like you said, The Office, a show that I really enjoy, Reno 911. You look at A Mighty Wind. You look at Borat. You look at even specific episodes of shows, like, for example, Community on that episode, I think
it's the documentary episode.
Yeah, intermediate documentary filmmaking where Abed does his thing. But I have to also say that while comedies, I guess, lend themselves toward this medium and,
If you call it a mockumentary, then it has to be.
No, it doesn't, because mockumentary is really just a fake documentary. And actually, I just want to point out one that I know not everybody loves, but this for me was one of the best movies of, I think, 2009, it came out, and it is a mockumentary, and it's drama, is Cloverfield. Cloverfield was a great film. And it was a fake documentary.
Was that 2009? Or was it
2009? I'm not sure. It came out a while back.
Because I was thinking of all the term mockumentary means. Well, it would be a satire on a documentary, and it would be hard to,
Actually, to be very technical, mockumentary, maybe it's because we like comedies more in the mockumentary format that we think of it as a satire, but it's technically a mock documentary, meaning kind of like a mock exam. It's just an example of a documentary where they're creating a story
That's how I took it until Douglas pointed out Cloverfield. I know I'm trying to see if there's any other movies that take that path.
There's actually another one that I've seen. I can't remember the name of it, but it has to do with the Loch Ness Monster and Werner Herzog. I don't know if he actually directed it, but he was a major part of this movie.
I'm glad you didn't hear that.
I'm just to cut you. I'm on Wikipedia looking down a list of mockumentaries, and I just had to laugh. Because in the list, even though I don't agree with it, but it's still a debate that's going on, is Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah. I saw that list too. And I was like, really? I thought it was real. Some of the things that happened in there actually happened.
So. No. I still believe it's real.
I don't care.
It's just an awesome
movie. It proves nothing. People are assholes.
There's that other movie with the Loch Ness one, so that I actually got really into Nessie.
Oh, there's actually one that people
United. Was that a, no.
No, definitely not. There's one that people actually love. It's called, I don't know if any of you have seen it, including Crystal. There's one called Man Bites Dog.
I've seen a piece of that. If it's what I think it is. Is it French?
It is French.
I've seen it. I've seen the first 15 minutes of it, and I had to kind of stop because it's a movie about a serial killer.
And you're following him as
a serial killer. And he's like teaching you how to do his trade. And it got a little bit much, and I kind of stopped. But I still, at the same time, I respect it. And I really want to continue, but wow.
I can't think of any serious ones, and the funny ones.
No, but
when it comes to the style of filmmaking.
It's all about doing something well. You know? If it's done well, then it will translate and be great. Like, for example, I love Borat, but I'm the first person to tell you that Bruno was a pile of shit. And even though it was done by the same people in the same style, one just hit all the right notes and the other did not. And that's what it is. You hit the right notes. You have a good story, you have a good premise, then you're good to go.
What happened during 27 hours beyond?
Alright, so ignoring Damien.
Wait, one quick question. Whatever happened to Sasha?
He is...
He's doing the new Scorsese film. Isn't he in the new Scorsese film, Hugo Cabaret, that's being filmed now?
Yeah.
Because he was in like a movie every day for like 3 years and now he's
and then Borat came out and he was like, Bruno came out and he was like, ooh.
Maybe I should stop.
Yeah.
And Hugo Cabaret will be out in Christmas, so we'll be seeing him again soon.
That's good.
Crystal. When you spoke a little bit about, like, and we've been going on through it with the comedy versus drama, but what is it about the actual style of filmmaking which makes it so different? Try not to be obvious here, but you know what I mean?
It's just a different storytelling device entirely than, like, the traditional narrative. It puts the audience in it, and it allows like the characters to kind of acknowledge when things go crazy. Like they can just like kind of look to the camera and be like, can you believe this? And that's something that like narrative doesn't allow, and it just adds a whole nother layer to the humor for jokes.
Have you ever watched like a mockumentary, like maybe Best in Show or Borat or Spinal Tap, and said to yourself, I probably would have liked this even more if it was a traditional narrative style?
Not for those. Like, maybe for some TV shows, was like when, you know, like The Office and Modern Family, you know, those are mockumentary style. And I still really like those shows, but there's some, like, especially for The Office right now, I feel like I'm just so, I've seen that style, like, and them use, like, the same talking head type jokes for so long now that it's like, okay, give us something new.
No, Douglas, you cannot stab her with the beer bottle.
Oh, so good.
That show is awesome.
Even though.
Was the English version, which was better. More dry, but this one is great.
That giant shit on your
show. I love that show, and I'm so upset that it's gone on its break. But is it out today? I know there's a community.
I have no clue.
Today. There was
I have no clue. We've been talking about the mockumentary as its style and its genre, and I mean we've spoken about certain genres that we like less than others, and I think one that definitely comes up a lot on this podcast is the horror genre.
I like Trick or Treat.
Wait, so that was a movie that fixed your problem, right?
I like The Orphanage.
Yeah.
I like The Orphanage.
I like Strangers.
However, were to take a percentage of horror films...
We're supposed to take a percentage of any genre of films.
Yeah.
Yes, but if we were to compare all of those percentages, I think horror would be lower on our like.
I'm pretty sure horror would be dead last.
My question is... Where in the genre ranking do you think mockumentaries fall for you, Damien?
I don't think I've seen enough to make a good assumption.
It's not used that much. Exactly. And so it's one of those things where it's not like you have an aversion or you have... Well, if you really like it, you really like it. I know for me, I don't seek it. And I don't say that if it is in the mockumentary, then I watch it. It's like, does this look like a good movie? If it does, then I'll watch it. If not, then maybe I'll watch it anyway. Right. But it's just, you know, there.
I guess because it's so hard to pull off, more people don't attempt to make movies in that style. Because it might be, in some cases, harder to get
narrative across if you're doing the whole fate documentary thing. People might not follow it as easily as they would a straightforward movie. So, plus that pitch must be very hard for you to walk into somewhere and go, look, I'm going to make a documentary, but not a real documentary, a fake one about so and so subject. And they just go, why not just make a normal movie? I still enjoy documentaries, normal ones.
Crystal, where do you think that mockumentaries fall in maybe your ranking of genres of film in your preference?
Well, there aren't as many mockumentaries as there are, like, you know, of any other genre, I feel, because it is so, like, niche and such a unique take on storytelling, because it is, like you said, harder to pitch, and it's kind of like, why would you choose to do mockumentary over comedy, like traditional comedy or traditional drama? So because there isn't that much compared to every other genre, really, it'd probably be pretty low. Like, I mean, I prefer horror movies to over mockumentary, you know, like just different experiences.
Just on a side note, do you like horror films generally?
Yes. there are some great ones, but there's a lot of really bad ones. So.
Okay, I just want to cut in really quickly and say that I've just remembered, I've realized that there's a fantastic movie that melds both genres that we are now talking about, horror and mockumentary, and that is the greatness that is Baghead.
I still haven't watched it.
I love that movie so much.
Is it actually a mockumentary? I swear it was. Or is it just a regular... And I'm sorry to use this word because people are getting tired of it, including Damien, mumblecore kind of feel to it.
I guess the thing about mumblecore is that in and of itself, it kind of is like a documentary. It's all, first of all of them are done on, you know, little digicams, which kind of already gives you that documentary feel.
Oh, so that's why Cyrus was bad.
There you go. But that movie was awesome. And all of them are, you know, generally two, maybe three characters, and it's all about the relationships between them, and they're just like talking, and it's not much. It's character driven as opposed to situational driven, and so that again helps to give to add to the documentary feel. So I don't want to say that it's not mumblecore at all, because of course these guys have their roots in that, and there's always going to be pieces of what they've done before in what they are doing, but I see this thing as more of a mockumentary, because it's not even, it essentially is, it's them trying to make a documentary about, what is it again, about they go to this house and they want, no, it's not a documentary, they're going to make a movie, but essentially you're seeing it through the cameras that they're doing, I think, but whatever.
Those movies that you enjoy where Breeze is killing people. where they're in a room and the camera is fixed.
Oh, you're talking about Paranormal Activity?
Right, Paranormal Activity.
Oh,
I guess those were technically... Those found footage films, they technically count as mockumentaries.
No, first of all, I want to just say this. I'm not saying that there's no such thing as a found footage film, but that is not a found footage film. Found footage means it's actually real.
No, it's in that style.
It's in fine. That's I give you that. But you can't say it's found footage movie, because found footage is actually when.
What you mean? You found footage is Senna. That's a found footage film.
Not really. In a sense, I suppose. But
they found footage
exactly.
And
no,
made
in a sense, you can use it that way. But found generally implies that it's like. It's literally like you're walking across the street and you pick this up off of the road.
And then you cut it together to show
people. It's not, you really had nothing to do with it.
Alright, so it's more a phone footage movie, you say?
It's more than
that. So phone footage movies be mockumentaries?
That's a good point. I guess you can kind of put them as a subgenre, because the thing about the mockumentary and the documentary style is that you're going into this talking head. Okay. You're going into this talking head mode eventually. And, I mean, not a lot of there are some documentaries which avoid the talking heads. But it generally is a staple of the genre. And
the Paranormal Activity never goes into those talking head mode. It's literally just you watching security camera footage of this thing happening to this family.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you'd categorize that as a mockumentary.
I'd categorize it as a horror movie that I won't watch.
Anyways, I think we can kind of wrap up at this point. Crystal, thank you so much for being on with us. Is there anywhere you want to point people to on the internet before we go?
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Crystal Bailey, Crystal_Bailey. So follow me there. I tweet about movies and social media and TV a lot. So, and thanks for having me on the show, guys.
So wait, hold on. Can you remind me, what's your website again at Blogspot?
Oh, yeah, it's too interesting for Twitter, everything, like, spelt out, .blogspot.com. And, like, the name is because I started the blog after I got a Twitter, and I realized not everything could be said in 140 characters. So it's kind of overflow from my Twitter feed of, like, I wanted to talk about this more.
Okay, so. Fine. Because these guys saw it to my face. That's, I was like, really?
And you just,
I thought,
old.
You were too interesting for Twitter. Why is it on there? But okay, all right, fine. I get you.
There, I thought you were forcing her to plug her website. even though I have to say, you posted a really cool video yesterday. She posted this video about, like, it's really a cut together of all of the title cards of history, of films throughout history. It's not all of them, but it's a good amount of them, and you see a progression as a style and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see how it was, like, in, say, like, the 60s with, like, Hitchcock and Psycho and Vertigo and all that, and then have it transition to, like, today, where it's kind of just, like, a title card, whereas before they used to have, like, animation and interesting, like, openings.
As you say, animation, I'm reminded of...
There's that echo.
Crystal, do you have the speaker on?
Well, you can't hear any echo anymore.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
Echo. But no, I was saying, what's it? Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. That's the movie that I'm reminded of when I hear of animation in the credits.
I think of Catch Me If You Can.
I haven't seen that.
Catch Me If You Can's good.
I love that movie.
Why not? What better movies are you?
I know, right? Clearly they are not that
You guys,
many.
We don't have to watch bad movies then. I think we've earned the right to watch only good movies at this point.
So, as usual, you can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com as well as all of my writings. You can find me on Twitter at gmanreviews, and you can... like G-Man Reviews on Facebook. Just search for G-Man Reviews. It's facebook.com/G-Man Reviews. I think I've said G-Man Reviews enough. So Douglas, where can they find you?
G-Man Reviews. No.
At G-Man Reviews.
Actually, there are a couple, but no.
You
can find me on Twitter. My name is DJR Lost His Name. And I guess that's really... the only place you can find me on a regular basis. Damien, where are you?
Cannot book DJR for any parties. Damien cannot be phoned.
Okay. So, once again, thank everyone. Thank you all for listening.
I hope people realize that this, by now, you know, that when I say I can't be phoned, it's not because I'm trying to be a dick to the people who listen.
He said he doesn't use social media at all. Media, no. He doesn't. He, like, you actually stop going on forums eventually.
Yes. Sarcasm doesn't really translate in text. And I use sarcasm more than I breathe air. And it's not fun typing something and hearing it in my head and having every single person misinterpret that statement. So. I have to give it up at some point.
Yeah, so that's why you can't find Damien.
Yeah.
But once again, thanks for listening, and good night.